Welcome back to In the Moment. Judges, attorneys, and law enforcement officers endorse a bill in South Dakota's State House that aims to ease mental health problems for people entering the justice system. SDPB's Keely Bultina joins us live from the University of Sioux Falls to talk about different facets of the bill. Hey, Keely.
Hi, Lori.
So it's a task force on mental health, and they researched what happens and what should happen for coping with folks dealing with mental health issues as they intersect with the state's criminal justice system. And now we have House Bill 1183, right?
Right. The broad purpose is this concept of improving mental health care. And obviously, because it comes through the unified judicial system, we're looking at improving mental health care where people who need that help are intersecting with the justice system. So more specifically, there are two main veins to this, you know, giant bill. There's the idea that we need to get people services, and there's the idea that we need to train people who are in the justice system to provide the care at the right levels, at the right time, for the right people.
And how does this measure do that? Let's start with how supporters say the bill helps people get the help they need faster and better.
Right now, South Dakota has no limit on how long someone can wait in custody for a mental health assessment. So one element of House Bill 1183 is a new rule that limits that to 21 days. Greg Satizon is the state court administrator, and he says people who need mental health care need more attention.
Once they're in the criminal justice system, they're much more likely to stay longer than people that do not suffer from mental illness. There's significant delays in competency evaluations, and this all leads to greater costs for the counties.
Greg Satizon says it's about $90 per day per person to keep someone in jail. So the fact that they are adjusting this to be a 21-day maximum unless there's good cause, in theory, saves a lot of money if people are waiting months for these sort of evaluations.
But just saying you want to keep the waiting period to 21 days doesn't help if you don't have the trained professionals to perform those assessments.
Exactly. And people with the unified judicial system say the pieces of this bill all fit together and support each other. They say that's the reason that the bill expands the kinds of mental health professionals who can administer mental health assessments. So Section 18 in the bill adds in people like certified nurse practitioners or counselors or social workers who have the right training and practical experience to administer these evaluations. That's because right now counties are often waiting to send people to state facilities, and the maximum for that, they've basically tripled what they can handle over the last couple of years. So instead of waiting to send people someplace to have the evaluation, the unified judicial system wants local law enforcement to connect with local facilities and local providers to make sure that that happens in a timely manner and gets people the help that they need.
All right. So that to me seems that it's addressing folks who are arrested and then and who need mental health care at the time that they sort of meet that law enforcement officer. Does this bill address anything to help people before they would go to jail?
Yes. There are two main elements here, too. There's a jail mental health screening pilot program that is put together in the bill. It brings together at least four jail administrators and two mental health providers to pick a tool for the pilot program, and then they'll implement that in at least four jails and see how it goes. So there's that aspect of it. Then there's this concept of expanding crisis management training opportunities for law enforcement. Section 7 of the Mental Health Criminal Justice Bill creates this grant through the Department of, and it'll be administered through the Department of Social Services. So cities, counties, or groups of counties can develop new crisis response services or expand the programs that they have.
So, Keely, before we go any further, who pays for it?
Always a good question, right? Leaders in the court say that the unified judicial system is finding the funding in their own budget. So it's no cost to the state's general fund, which is the main budget lawmakers construct and balance every year.
All right. So let's return to the notion of developing and expanding programs. Expansion means some places in South Dakota already have teams to respond to mental health crises.
Yes. There are some officers who are trained specifically to deal with people experiencing mental health crises, and there are about 20 departments statewide that have officers that are trained in this crisis management. When it comes to connecting with the community, different parts of the state have different approaches when law enforcement collaborate with mental health professionals. In Pennington County, Rapid City, there's a crisis care center to help people who need it. Hughes County has a mobile crisis team, and Minnehaha County does too. Minnehaha County had the first. The Sioux Falls mission is to get mental health professionals to the people when they're experiencing an episode, so that right there they can coordinate resources, assess the problem, and eliminate unnecessary psychiatric placements and jail time. Sioux Falls Police Sergeant David Osterquist says he remembers responding to a call several years ago. An older woman was drinking and threatening to hurt herself. Osterquist is specifically trained to work with people struggling in mental emergencies. He says he spent time with the woman, kept her calm, and made her comfortable.
I reached out to a friend of hers to come spend time with her so she wasn't alone. And several months later, we received a letter in the mail from her saying, "I know I treated all of you badly, but the help you provided me that night led me to get treatment, and now I am leading a productive life."
Osterquist says that's the goal of the mobile crisis team. It's a group of mental health professionals on call 24 hours a day. They meet people in their moments of need instead of handcuffing and hospitalizing them.
With 70 to 75% of the people not needing follow-up work, it was clear that something different needed to be done because we were wasting resources, putting people on mental illness holds, locking them up in a locked facility when it wasn't really what they needed to be successful.
Osterquist says a task force laid the foundation for the work, but no one knew exactly how to develop it. So he says he and Southeastern Behavioral Health's Chris Graham just started one. He says they scoured versions of mobile crisis work from around the country and plucked the pieces that best fit Minnehaha and Lincoln counties. Graham says they launched the joint mental health effort in 2010.
One of the reasons that Southeastern got involved, too, is because we do crisis calls as part of our community mental health work. And so it helped us to learn more techniques about de-escalation and how to work with people in a crisis situation. So it was really a good fit for us that way.
Graham says the operation in Sioux Falls emphasizes the mobile crisis team. Sioux Falls Police Sergeant Tara Walton explains how it works. She says it may start because a person is threatening self-harm and a friend or family member is worried.
Obviously, the person's scared. Who do we call when we're scared or we're afraid? 911. We're raised to do that from the very beginning.
Once those numbers ring through, Walton says police evaluate the call.
The officers would be asked to respond. They'd make contact with the person, make sure the environment's safe, and then assess the situation at that point. Does this fit the need for the mobile crisis team?
Specific parameters exist to answer that question. Walton says officers cannot call the mobile crisis team if a person has taken action to harm himself or herself. The person can't be too inebriated with drugs or alcohol to function and work with officers, and he or she cannot be violent. In those cases, law enforcement prioritize safety. Megan Wexler is a therapist who coordinates the mobile crisis team.
Say we get called and they're not taking their meds. Every person does have the right to refuse their own medication. So as we can go, we can definitely strongly encourage them. We'll assess like their symptoms that are going on. Sometimes there's medical meds that is life or death if they don't take it. If they're refusing, okay, we're going to intervene by making you go to the hospital.
Wexler says even people who do need mental health treatment don't automatically require a placement from law enforcement.
We'll encourage them to go to the hospital voluntarily rather than putting them on the hold, because that still gives them more of a right than putting them on the hold. Pretty much takes away all their rights.
Sioux Falls Police Sergeant David Osterquist says law enforcement and the mobile crisis team operate in serious situations.
That officer has to have, by statute, probable cause to place that person on a mental illness hold before the mobile crisis team can be activated. Once the officer determines that probable cause exists, they can then contact a mental health professional and have them respond to the scene and deal with it. They're statutorily protected. The handoff is spelled out in state law about how that is supposed to work. The mental health professional then makes a determination whether or not they want the officer to stick around or whether they want to release the officer to go back to work. And then that mental health worker, that mobile crisis team member, deals with the situation and then makes recommendations and determinations for that person.
The purpose is to respond and develop a safety plan. If that person can stay in the home, that means no unnecessary medical bills from a hospital. It means the person doesn't miss work the next day, and any children involved don't have to go into government placement. In January alone, Minnehaha County's mobile crisis team handled a record 47 calls, and not one of those required hospitalization. Southeastern Behavioral Health CEO Chris Graham says leaders are constantly asking questions to ensure the program's efficacy.
Are there repeat users of mobile crisis, or were they one-time situations?
Graham says 3 out of 4 people who need mental health help in the community don't call again in the same year. Police officers, though, do encounter people repeatedly outside of crises. Sioux Falls Police Sergeant Tara Walton says the mobile crisis team fosters relationships.
Someone that we took the time to help and not just take to a mental health facility or take to jail, but we showed empathy and we showed some understanding and wanted to get them help rather than just find a quick solution. Those people are more responsive to us in future contacts. There's some mutual respect that takes place and some understanding. And I've definitely seen an appreciation in the community from those people that we've been able to touch, or those family members as well.
The mobile crisis team that covers Minnehaha and can go into Lincoln County responds to about 400 calls on average per year. With a record January, that number could change for this year.
Keely, you've been covering this and looking pretty deeply into it for some time. What has surprised you that you've learned?
When it came to the mobile crisis team, I thought about officers and mental health workers responding to homes. This makes sense. That's what they do.
Right.
Houses, apartments, right? But they also respond to places like city parks or other public spaces where someone might be struggling and need help. I just never thought of it in that way. That,
right.
Of course, people need help in different places during their lives. I also have to mention, I was struck by how highly they value privacy and that community connection. There were stories they wouldn't tell me and said things like, oh, there's this great story I would love to tell you. This would be so good to tell you because it made such a difference. But the details are too specific, and I don't want to risk that person or their family members hearing that we're talking about them, because that's not what we do. We work with the people in the community, and we develop their trust, and we're there for them, not for you.
And that's incredibly important all across South Dakota, and then has an interesting twist in a smaller town as well as a bigger city like Sioux Falls.
Absolutely, yes.
Right, yeah. So with the grant program looking to expand and create these teams, earlier today we talked about issues of accountability. What does accountability look like in this context?
House Bill 1183 has data required for the number of applications to the grant program, the amounts of money awarded, the location, the purpose, the population served, and they're supposed to be reported twice a year. And then the legislation also creates an oversight council. So staff are from the UJS through the courts, and courts now have to provide things like the number of people referred to mental health court, numbers of people admitted, the percentage of people who complete the court's requirements, and then the number of people convicted of a new crime in 1 to 3 years after completing that mental health court's rubric. So it's trying to watch for those numbers and understand what those trends look like and really figure out, is a system like this going to be effective?
House Bill 1183 is 17 pages long. I want to make sure to touch on the additional training for law enforcement officers. The bill includes mental health training for judges, attorneys, and law enforcement.
Yes, and I don't want to get too wonky here, but in the legislative session, we often hear arguments over words like may and shall. So this bill uses the word shall, so that's prescriptive in state law. May allows organizations to do things, but shall compels them. So in this bill, they're going to train people from jail staff to judges, because that's what the bill says. South Dakota Supreme Court Justice Chief David Gilbertson testified on this point in committee when he spoke to them on Monday.
Tomorrow will be my 32nd anniversary of being a judge. I don't think I've ever had mental health training. And we would propose it for judges, for prosecutors, defense attorneys, law enforcement people, really important group, intake officers in jails. We usually have that initial contact. And probation officers also.
And we've heard from the Chief Justice many times before as the court system and other leaders are looking at things like mental illness and also things like juvenile justice reform. And so they're trying to find ways to address problems that they see in the court system and in the jails and in the prisons before it has to get to that point. So it's all about that early intervention. I should also mention that this bill contains an emergency clause. That just means the bill, if it's passed by the full state Senate and then signed by Governor Dennis Dugard, can take effect immediately.
All right. SDPP's Keely Boltina on mental health in the criminal justice system. Really great work, Keely. Thank you.
You're welcome.